I next met with Dr. Heather Wakely, and to begin, she commented on an important Phase 3 trial just reported in June at the ASCO meeting, evaluating the use of adjuvant treatment with the tyrosine kinase inhibitor gefitinib.
So the adjuvant trial is what they called it. It was a Chinese oncology trial, CTONG study, was designed to look at the question of for patients who have a EGFR driver mutation who have been through surgical resection and now are post-op adjuvant treatment setting, are they going to be better off treated with an EGFR TKI, and they used gefitinib in this trial, or platinum doublet chemotherapy, and they used cisplatin vinorelbine standard dosing for that. So it's an interesting research question. The Japanese have an almost exactly similar design study, which we expect to hear about in the next year or two. I'm going to back up for a little bit before I get to the data from the adjuvant trial to talk about the background here, which is that we don't have a lot of randomized studies in this setting. We have some non-randomized trials like the SELECT study where patients who had an EGFR driver mutation after resection, after chemo, if they were going to get chemo, got EGFR TKI, in that case, erlotinib, and they actually had a long disease-free survival, and you didn't really see progression happening or relapse happening until after the 2 years when they'd stopped drugs, so that was really intriguing. Then we have only one adjuvant trial that looked at adjuvant erlotinib, and in that study, the randomization and enrollment was actually based on EGFR expression and not whether or not patients had a mutation, and so the subset of patients with mutations ended up being reasonable, but not enough to be a definitive phase three. So there, patients received chemo or not appropriately, and then were randomized to get adjuvant erlotinib or placebo. And in that study, we had clear benefit from a disease-free survival endpoint, but there was no overall survival benefit, and it wasn't definitively sized to give us an answer. So a lot of questions remaining about what do we do for these patients? We know they have an EGFR driver. We know that EGFR drugs work great in the metastatic setting. So what about adjuvant? So this study, getting back to where we were at ASCO this year, the adjuvant data, this was the first study that was a randomized phase three, big study, just for patients with EGFR mutations, trying to ask that question, do we give EGFR TKIs or not? So that trial wasn't a huge study. It was a little over 100 in each arm. One of the key issues with the trial, one of the kind of flaws, was that they actually enrolled a huge percentage of patients with N2 disease. So about two-thirds of the patients actually had N2 disease, stage 3A. And that's a big issue when we think about the study design because patients were then randomized to either get gefitinib or to get chemo, which means half the patients with stage 3A, you know, two-thirds of the trial was 3A, they didn't get chemo. They were only getting gefitinib. And then if you look at the group that did get chemo, was randomized to chemo, 20% of them didn't get the chemo. So there's a big chunk of patients that didn't get any treatment at all. And that's going to be a big issue when you think about a 3A patient population where there's a really high risk of relapse. Other than that, and not just demographics, the study was run well, and patients either got their 4 cycles of chemo or got their gefitinib. And when we look at the endpoint, the disease-free survival did strongly favor the patients getting the gefitinib, but we don't have any overall survival data yet. And I really think it's important to think about the fact that when you're dealing with adjuvant, you really have to think about cure. If we're not improving cure, just delaying relapse, if it's not changing the survival, we're really not helping patients because they're ending up treating a lot of people who aren't getting any benefit at all. And this is a long-term treatment plan. It's usually a couple years. So to me, even though it showed the primary endpoint, disease-free survival was clearly met with gefitinib versus chemo, I'm not thinking this should be practice changing at this time, and I would really encourage people to be looking for these patients post-operative with EGFR mutation and thinking about enrolling them on the Alchemist study. So that's a big cooperative group study in the U.S. It's enrolling now. Patients are screened to look for EGFR or ALK. If they have EGFR, then they're randomized to get erlotinib or to just get best supportive care after their chemo if they're going to get chemo, after radiation if they're going to get post-operative radiation. But at that time point, when they finish their definitive treatment, then they get randomized to either get erlotinib or just to get best supportive care. The same with ALK, only then they're using crizotinib versus best supportive care. And that study also has, for patients who don't have EGFR, don't have ALK, They then can go on the Anvil portion where they're randomized to get nivolumab or not, so they can then get a PD-1 inhibitor. So it's a really good study, The Alchemist, and I would really encourage, you know, this is open to pretty much any practitioner in the U.S. because it's through the cooperative group network, so it's very, very open, and that's, I think, a much better plan than going out and giving EGFR TKI to these patients after surgery.
You know, I thought it was a really interesting design. I was really surprised by it, comparing it to chemotherapy as opposed to comparing it yes or no after chemotherapy. And I mean, okay, if you really had a trial that you believed in that showed better progression-free survival than chemotherapy, like why would you use chemo? I mean, why would you think it would have a survival benefit if it doesn't even have a progression-free survival as a deficit?
So I think you've really got to think about the idea of cure or not cure. I mean, if we look at the data that exists so far, the disease-free survival was improved. The way I think about it is the patients who were cured by surgery alone were cured by surgery alone. And the patients who were not cured, when you give an EGFR TKI, you're not actually curing. You're postponing when the disease starts to show up again because basically you're giving them their first line of EGFR TKI early as opposed to when you can actually see the disease. But for those patients who didn't get the EGFR drug, who then did recur, they then got their EGFR drug and they sort of made up the difference, right? They're on treatment later as opposed to being on treatment early, but in the end, the survival ends up being the same. So that's how I think about it. Is that the truth? Well, we don't have enough data to say that definitively. But if you look at the earlier studies that we have where you have a disease-free but not an overall survival benefit, that rationale makes sense, where you're not curing, you're just postponing when the disease shows up because you're initiating treatment earlier.